Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just a quick note to say that I will be off from Monday for 2.5 weeks. Best, Henk. What?
Just a quick note from Rob to say that I'll be taking all of August off once again, and will return sometime late summer.
Yeah, well, you sent the message twice. Is that because you've been on the glue vine the second time you sent it?
Well, you're not very good at acknowledging messages, are you, to be honest with you? It's a lack of professionalism that shines throughout not only the show, but also your interactions with the top stars.
Thank you very much. That's a really nice nice of you to say that.
Well, I just thought I'd highlight your inefficiencies and therefore you can work on them over the summer. I know it's a reflective time for you where you try to get back to nature, back to basics, and perhaps these are areas that you can work on.
Said the person who's clearing off on holiday for 2.5 weeks.
Come on.
So you've had a month off now. It'll be a month, 4.5 weeks off you will have had.
Based on?
Well, I don't know. You know, you've been in Switzerland for nearly 2 weeks, haven't you?
Working. And yeah. Yes.
And then you were in lockdown for 2 months before that and didn't go out of the house. Just a quick foray to go clubbing with Chris Grayling, but apart from that, you stayed put, didn't you?
That has not stopped me from spending quality time analysing markets and guiding clients through the turmoil, and we continue, of course, to do that, whatever the circumstances.
Driving clients around the bend more like, OK, let's have your expert analysis on yesterday's performance on the markets then, please.
In Europe, stocks rose yesterday. Gains we saw in the car maker consumer products helped by better than expected results from Unilever that we were talking about yesterday. However, concerns around the state of the US economy pushed stocks into the red, snapping a 4-day winning streak on Wall Street. As day suggested, the recovery in the United States could well be stalling, with the first tick up in jobless claims since March, signaling the labour market may start to struggle. Just at, of course, a time when federal aid starts to wind down for people and for companies, although we know that policymakers are debating an extension to those measures. Initial claims increased to 1.42 million last week, up 109,000. Alongside that, 16.2 million Americans continue to file for ongoing benefits. I think investors have been betting the easing of lockdown restrictions would allow activity and labour markets to recover. Recent economic data, coronavirus numbers as well, is causing them to reconsider that assumption. Technology was actually the big loser yesterday. What a tremendous performance that we've seen from technology during the course of this year. The Nasdaq, as we know, has been very strong, up around about 25%, but did give back some of those gains yesterday, 2.3% worth, turning lower for the week, erasing Monday's large gain. Weakness in Alphabet, Amazon and Apple. Microsoft shares also slumping after saying cloud growth would be slower. S&P 500 had closed down 1.2%. No surprise that weakness that we've seen on Wall Street will be reflected at the European Open this morning, where we're currently calling the FTSE down 57 points. DAX 7 in Frankfurt down 146 points. CAC 40 in Paris off 60 points.
Yes, it's a fair point you make about technology, because if it hadn't been for technology such as Zoom and Skype and Twitter and Facebook over the last couple of months, the world might have collapsed.
Well, we know that companies have, and if you look at businesses, have been adopting technology at a much faster rate than was originally anticipated as a result of the lockdown from the pandemic. They've kept the world moving. Virtual conferences, allowing people to work from home. So that's been an important concept, and you continue to see, I think, greater investment from companies. Those adoption rates pick up at a much faster pace than anticipated. And you see that through every walk of life, but particularly you see it amongst the retailers, of course. Lots of people who weren't buying online have decided to follow that route now, and companies need to adapt to meet that change in demand.
So where are you going on holiday then?
Well, I will still be here in Switzerland, but I will probably wander down to Montreux for a little bit, which is a favourite part of the world for me and my family. So I'll enjoy that for a certain amount of time and then decide where to go from there.
Lovely. OK, what a surprise. The latest round of Brexit talks have broken up without an agreement. Now, you know, don't give us all this, though. The government's decided that's the way it's going to go. And, you know, and no doubt they'll make the best of it. Just give us the cold, hard economic reality of the situation, please.
Well, the cold, hard economic reality of the facts is that, yes, I think the talks are not making the progress that was once hoped, that both sides saying they're far from a deal. But I think if you look beyond the headlines, there are apparent signs of a compromise starting to take shape, particularly in some of the key areas, how an accord will be structured, the role of the European Court of Justice will have in terms of policing that deal, how far Britain will have to or will be required to apply state aid rules. But there are still some areas of significant disagreement. Fishing rights, although fishing isn't a huge part of the UK economy, you could argue that the symbolic nature of fishing and the idea that actually much of Brexit has, the debate has been centred around the idea of sovereignty and democracy, then that perhaps is seen as a showcase for that concept and therefore has become far more important in this process than perhaps it should have been the case. The level playing field continues to be important. The idea that you'll see the same level of workers and environmental rights in the UK maintained as you see within the European Union. Where do we go from here? That's the important thing. Well, the talks, the discussions, and negotiations will continue. The next formal round, I don't think, starts until September. Remember, that's ahead of you going to the European summit meeting in the middle of October. I think as you look towards that, the hope is that we will start to see a compromise at the 11th hour, as typical between the UK and the European Union. And that's, of course, before the UK leaves the European Union single market, the customs union, at the end of the year. What's at risk? Well, if they fail to reach an agreement by then, businesses will, of course, face the imposition of tariffs and quotas.
I have a lot of sympathy for trawler men. It's a very, very hard job. In fact, I spent quite a lot of time on a small fishing boat back in the 1980s. And, you know, you wouldn't want to do that job unless you actually had to. But it still only accounts for 0.1% of the economy.
Yeah, very small part of the economy. But I said it's symbolic in terms of the idea that the UK will be able to start to make its own rules and laws and hold its borders and all these types of concepts that we heard so much about before the Brexit vote. And therefore, yeah, plays an important part in terms of the discussions, even though, as I say, the economic impact is probably less than it might suggest.
So do you think Boris will build a wall under the Channel to stop the fish flouncing off to France, or is that just a bit...
I don't know. Well, he's thinking about a bridge to Northern Ireland, of course. So yeah, a bridge and a tunnel might even be a step too far for Mr. Johnson.
I can't believe that they brought that up again yesterday. It was, who was it, Brandon Lewis, the Northern Ireland Secretary, sort of expressing optimism that a bridge between Scotland and Northern Ireland would be built at some time in the future.
You don't think that's going to be possible? You don't think that's likely to happen?
I think
in terms of the economic benefit of that would be absolutely huge. I mean,
ask the engineers.
Yeah,
it's one of the most treacherous crossings of water in the world, and it's very, very deep. So it'd be an absolutely amazing feat if they could actually build it. But I'll take you back to the Garden Bridge. how much money was wasted on that? Was it £40 million and never saw the light of day?
Yeah, the Garden Bridge. I think it would need to be something a little bit more substantial than the Garden Bridge, as you say, in order to make that work. But there are bridges around the world that you can take inspiration from in some difficult parts of Asia and so forth, where we've seen those introduced. So perhaps it will be possible. And listen, as Tony Blair told us, we're at our best when we're at our bravest. Let's try and think about this new modern world.
OK, well, I'll tell you what, if the bridge between Scotland and Northern Ireland sees the light of day before I pop my clogs, I'll buy you a glass of Liebfrau milk.
Well, you owe me a number of bottles of wine already, so I'll add that to the list.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 1.27 this morning. Euro dollar continues to show strength up to 1.16. You get €1.095 for your British pound this morning.
Well, I'd just like to thank you for all your input over the years and months that have gone by, and have a lovely holiday.
Thank you, my friend, and you enjoy yourself on your extended vacation stroke sabbatical, and let's renew this acquaintance towards the end of the summer.
Well, the start of September it'll be. All right. Offy Toddle.
Have a good day.
Bye. Hank Potts and Barclays. It's 4 minutes away from 9. I forgot to say Friday's amongst us best day of the week.